What about paganism? Disc 1, Idolatry in the Tanakh. Paganism and idolatry are real, even though those of us that live in the West seldom see people worshiping or offering sacrifices to idols. Paganism is as real today as it was in the time of the Bible. Not only can idolatry take on the form of internal qualities such as greed and narcissism, but it exists in a physical and tangible way as well. Paganism is not just something for the history books, but it is something every believer must be on guard against today. The more we study the history and origins of the practices both of the world and the church, the more we are often left puzzled and disturbed. On the one hand, we want to honor the injunctions in the Bible against idolatry, but on the other hand, if we believe every superstitious and paranoid anti-pagan teaching we hear and read, it becomes so overwhelming that it would be difficult to function in modern society. Questions come up like, is it okay to celebrate Christmas and Easter? What about Halloween and Thanksgiving? Can my son be in a karate class? Are many Jewish customs actually pagan in origin as well? In this 4-CD series, What About Paganism?, we will attempt to answer these questions and more by examining the topic from the Bible with an eye on history and Jewish thought. The prohibitions against idolatry are extensively discussed and explained in our Torah Clubs, Volume 1 and 5. But those discussions are scattered across the Torah Clubs because they are offered as commentary on the specific commandments against idolatry as they appear in the Torah. Commandments against idolatry show up all throughout the Torah. This 4-CD set, titled What About Paganism?, brings all that Torah Club material together into one place and adds a lot of additional information. On the first CD, we will explore the topic of paganism from the perspective of the Tanakh, that is, the Hebrew Scriptures. We will look at the commandments of the Torah in regards to idolatry, as well as the ongoing problem of mixing paganism into the worship of the God of Abraham in ancient Israel. On the second CD, we will examine the topic of idolatry as is found in the Gospels and the rest of the apostolic writings, with a special focus on the issues of non-Jews coming into the community of Jewish believers. On the third CD, we will begin to dig into some practical application by discussing everyday issues such as holidays and practices. On the last CD, we will further explore practical application by going through some common misconceptions about pagan origins. It will be a sort of myth-busting session. But for now, let's proceed with this lesson. The book of Genesis establishes for the reader that the original faith of all mankind was monotheism, that is, the belief in one God, and we are led to believe that everyone worshipped Hashem, the one true God. The creation account's primary goal is to establish that it was Hashem and Hashem alone who created the heavens and the earth, and that in reality, He is the only God who exists. The Torah opens up with, "In the beginning, God." The first letter of the Torah is Beit, which is the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The rabbis ask, why doesn't the Torah begin with Aleph, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet? This is to teach us that before creation, there was God alone. Aleph is the first letter in Elohim, which means God in Hebrew. Therefore, before creation, before the Beit, was Elohim, God alone. So when did polytheism and paganism begin? In other words, when did people begin to worship multiple and false gods? Although we don't know for sure, many of the Jewish sages are convinced that this began when God divided up the people of the earth at the Tower of Babel. They feel that not only were the languages divided up, but it is then that the people of the earth began to stray from the worship of Hashem and seek after false gods. Whether this is true or not, certainly idolatry is a problem by the time of Abraham. His ancestors are referred to in the book of Joshua as worshippers of other gods. As we shall see, idolatry was a major problem not only outside of Israel, but also for the Jewish people as well. The concept of monotheism is stressed over and over throughout the Torah. In Exodus chapter 20, God gives the Jewish nation the Ten Commandments. Hashem begins, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. While traditionally in Christianity these verses are seen as encompassing one commandment, Judaism breaks them down into two separate ones. The first one is to believe that God exists, and the second is to believe in Him alone. When Hashem says, "I am the Lord your God," He is asking Israel to believe in Him. This commandment is the first commandment in Maimonides' codification of the 613 commandments of the Torah. The famous rabbi from the 19th century, the Chofetz Chaim, writes, "As Scripture states, I am Hashem your God, and He, be He blessed and exalted, brought all entities into being and all worlds by His power and blessed wish. It is He who watches over everything. This is the foundation of our faith." The starting point for Israel's faith is to realize that it is Hashem who created everything that exists and that He indeed is real. Then it is imperative for Israel to realize that He alone is God and that He alone is worthy of their worship. One of the most important places in the Torah that deals with the topic of monotheism is in the Shema. The Shema is the most prominent scriptural creed of Judaism and is recited twice daily in the synagogue. It consists of several Torah passages, including portions of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and 11 and Numbers chapter 15. It begins with Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one." Our English word idolatry comes from the Greek root eidolon, which means image or fantasy. At its core, idolatry is image worship, but it is also the worship of fantasy in the sense that it worships something that does not exist. In Hebrew, idolatry is referred to as avodah zarah, foreign worship, because idolatry is foreign to what Israel has been commanded in the Torah. This is important because there were elements of Israel's worship that were similar to what pagans were doing, such as sacrifices and circumcision. What mattered is what God said was okay and what He said wasn't. The Encyclopedia Judaica drives home this point. The one God was to be worshipped only as prescribed by the law. The difference between the biblical ceremonies and their counterparts is not intrinsic, but simply the fact that the former are prescribed by the law, while the latter are not. In the Bible, to worship the only God with rites that are not prescribed by the law is an act of avodah zarah. The Torah specifies that Israel's worship is to be both monotheistic and non-idolatrous. These two characteristics were important to distinguish Israel's worship because throughout history there have been monotheists who use idols in worship and polytheists who were against idols in worship. God tells the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 16 that to practice idolatry and follow after other gods was no less than tantamount to breaking the covenant itself. The Lord said to Moses, "Behold, you are about to lie down with your fathers, and this people will arise and play the harlot with strange gods of the land, into the midst of which they are going, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them." He also tells them in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 16 to 17, that if they fell into idolatrous practices, he would be forced to remove his blessings from upon them. "Beware that your hearts are not deceived, and that you do not turn away and serve other gods and worship them, or the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will shut up the heavens so that there will be no rain, and the ground will not yield its fruit, and you will perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving you."